The Blast from Our Past Network.
Lock your doors, close your windows, turn out your lights, for chills and thrills await you. It's time for Podcasting After Dark with your hosts, Corey Stevenson and Zach Schaefer. Stay with a friend, say your prayers as grisly ghouls close in to seal your doom, and enjoy this bonus episode of Podcasting After Dark.
What's up, everybody? Co-host Corey here with another bonus mini-review for you all. This time, I'm going to be talking about Predator, Killer of Killers, the new animated movie that just dropped on Hulu. And if you're listening to this in the future, it came out in 2025. We're June 2025. But so this is the highly anticipated sort of animated, movie by Dan Trachtenberg, if that's how you pronounce his name. If not, I apologize. But he's the director of Prey, which came out in 2022, a movie that I absolutely loved. He also directed 10 Cloverfield Lane, a movie that I did not love. Kind of only really like that first Cloverfield, but nothing after that. But Prey was really cool. I never did one of these mini reviews for that. I wasn't doing them back then, but I very much enjoyed that movie. It felt like an old Dark Horse comic, Predator comic come to life from the 90s, kind of like in the same way that movie Predators to me felt like that. The one by Robert Rodriguez. I really enjoyed that movie. I feel like over time, people have sort of forgotten about that film. I think it's really good, and I think it was a great sort of direction for the Predator franchise to go in. It seemed to have gotten sort of, dropped by the movie aspect of things, but I've been reading the Marvel Predator comics, the newer ones, and they seem to kind of go sort of in line with that movie Predators, with the Robert Rodriguez one, the whole idea that people are getting collected and everything like that. And it kind of happens in here as well, but I'll get into that in a little bit. So Predator, Killer of Killers. First off, it's an animated movie. I don't know if that's going to turn people off or not, but I personally think the animation is fantastic in this thing. Obviously, it's a CGI style animation. It's not like a hand-drawn style animation, but it is stylized, and I very much enjoy the look of it. It's not like hyper realistic. It leans more on like a stylization that I enjoy, and I like the way it looks, and the animation is very fluid. It's also very, very, very violent, which is great. I freaking love that. One thing that kind of is a little bit interesting, and I'm not quite sure, if I love it or hate it, but the predators in this movie, they're very big and bulky. It's very much a far cry from the original Predator in, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film. He was kind of like, tall but sort of slender. And so was the same, obviously, with Kevin Peter Hall's, the same actor who played the main Predator in Predator 2, so kind of has the same body type. But these predators in this movie are massive. Like, and I'm talking like not just tall, but they're like wide, massive. They're huge. They're very much like bulky monsters, which is cool. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, are they a different cast? Are they a different like strand? And I know that like in the movie Predators, we do see different sort of styles, like facial features of predators and everything. And then even in Prey, I feel like that predator looked a little bit different than, say, the jungle hunter, from the original Predator film, and then, the city hunter from Predator 2. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure where like Predator, Aliens versus Predator, those kind of all had similar styles, although I feel like the Aliens versus Predator started getting a little bit bulkier. But yeah, this is interesting. I'm not quite sure if it's a stylistic design, or if Dan Trachtenberg is starting to establish different races of predators and different, you know, maybe species of predators, you know, we'll see. But that's one thing I kind of was like, it's not off-putting. I'm just sort of confused by it. Again, could be a stylistic choice, you know, just to make the predators so much different than the humans. But the movie is technically an anthology. There are three smaller stories that are all interconnected into one, you know, bigger story that'll you'll see sort of the conclusion of at the end of the film. The three stories are titled, the first one is titled Shield, second one is titled, or The Shield, the second one is titled The Sword, and then the third one is titled The Bullet. Pretty cool. They range from, like, you know, old Norse, you know, Viking era stuff for the shield. The second one with the sword is like feudal Japan era, ninjas and samurais. And then the third one, the bullet, is World War II era. And that one was the most surprising because the action in the third one takes place entirely in aerial combat with, you know, Spitfires and stuff like that from World War II, which was really, really cool. First one, like I said, is very Viking-esque, and it's the little bit of the slower one, but it has the characters that I like the most in it. The second one is, again, it's like ninjas versus samurai versus predator, and that's as amazing as you think that is. And then the third one, like I said, it's a World War II one, a story, but it's a World War II aerial combat story. So we actually get to see a lot of, like, Predator fighter jet action, you know, happening, which was definitely very cool to see. Voice acting wise, honestly, the only notable name is Michael Biehn. He's in the third one, The Bullet. He plays like the captain of the squadron of the Spitfires. Everyone else is someone I have no clue, you know, who they are, you know, but like they all do a great job. You don't need there to always be big celebrity names and voiceovers, you know, like everyone did their job. Every character felt like, you know, realized and fleshed out, even though they only get like 15 minutes to do it. The movie's like an hour and 27 minutes and they pack a lot of it into it. But yeah, the voice acting they do their job. It's great. You like the characters. It brings you in. I'd say, so I'm not going to like give away who survives and stuff like that, but like the premise is that each story, one person survives by killing a predator, and that's why it's called Killer of Killers. And then these are all wrapped up, you know, basically they're sort of captured by the predators and brought to like a fourth act. And this is, like I said, the over, you know, arching story, like any good anthology, you know, you got your three stories in the middle, but like any good anthology, you're going to have like this other story that's kind of keeping them all together, you know, and it pays off well. I really, really want to keep this review as spoiler free as possible because the movie just dropped like a couple days ago. We watched it with my buddies. We all watched it when they were up here the night that it dropped, and we all very, very much enjoyed it. Like I said, voice acting wise, everyone does a great job. Animation wise, it's top notch. I very much love the style of it, and it's very, very violent, which is freaking awesome. And then, like, story-wise, I thought it was just really cool, each one they decided to sort of dive into. But now here's going to kind of be a little bit of my gripe, and it's not a gripe by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, like, online, this movie's getting, like, praised, like, oh, you want to see Predator doing all this crazy stuff throughout history, and, like, all this, these historical, like, you know, Predator stuff happening in action and everything, and I'm like, you know, that's cool, like, they're building it up like this is the first time we're seeing that kind of stuff, and yeah, like, in movie form, we sort of are, except for, you know, Prey was a period piece. But other than that, you know, the first two Predator movies were contemporary. Then Aliens vs. Predator were contemporary. Predators is technically contemporary, and The Predator just shouldn't exist because that movie just fucking sucks. But, you know, so this one, you're seeing predators throughout history doing their predations and everything. But I gotta say is, like, you know, if you like this, go back and read the old Dark Horse comics. Like, there are so many cool stories in that run from the mid-90s up till, I guess, the 2000s. I mean, I pretty much read them all. They had stuff that, they had stories that took place, you know, in the trench warfares of, you know, World War One, you know, and everything. And they did this kind of stuff. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, I just kind of want to, like, you know, sing the praises of Dark Horse Comics, because I feel like people are forgetting about it. And it seems like in the Marvel era of Predator comics, they're kind of going for a future, you know, thing going on. It's, you know, I don't know if they're going to go back to contemporary times, but they're not really messing with the past stuff. And maybe they want to leave Dan to his thing, because it seems like Dan Thrachenberg is sort of helming the Predator franchise at this point, like sort of directing it. And I'm fine with that, because Prey was freaking awesome. I love that movie. This is freaking awesome. Killer of Killers is freaking awesome. And I mean, I'm very much looking forward to the new one that he's doing. Was it called Badlands or something like that? I know people are kind of fearful of it being overly CGI-y, but I mean, come on, it's going to be just get past it. But I'm looking forward to it. And I like, you know, what he's doing. And there, by the way, you know, there's a couple Easter eggs in Killer of Killers that tie into Prey and other things and Predator 2. And, you know, again, I don't want to give anything away, because I want to try to keep this as spoiler free as possible. But I like what he's doing. You know, I think he's doing a great job. And so far, I don't play baseball, but, you know, he has two movies out, and I like them both. Is that batting 1,000? I don't know. I don't play baseball. I don't watch baseball. But, you know, I think that the franchise right now seems to be in good hands. I'm sure a lot of you are already planning on watching this movie. If you're listening to this podcast, you've seen Predator before. You've probably seen Predator 2 before and all the other ones. And I'm sure you're planning on watching this one. And I just got to say, it's worth it. It's worth your time. And again, at an hour and like in 27 minutes, like it's great. It doesn't overextend its welcome. And it packs in a lot of new mythos stuff into it, but I just want to push back on the crowd that says that this is, you know, groundbreaking and everything, and just say, go back and check out those old Dark Horse Predator comics. If you like what you see in this, you're gonna love those, you know, what those have to offer. So go back and check those out, and definitely check this out. Obviously, this is a kind of a smaller, shorter review, because I don't want to give anything away. So hope you all dig it. Hope you all dig this sort of micro mini review. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it. Will I own the Blu-ray or the 4K of it? No, probably not. I mean, if I was going to, then I would probably feel inclined to pick up The Predator just for, like, completionist sort of scenario, you know, but then I'd have to buy Aliens versus Predator. So no, I don't think I'll, like, buy this on Blu-ray. You know, will I watch it again anytime soon? Maybe when, like, Badlands comes out, I'll give it another visit. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'd rather watch Predator 2. Hell, I'd rather watch Prey at this point, because I've only seen that once, so I'd give that one another go. So I think it'll be a while before I watch this one again, but I did very much enjoy my time with it, and I think you all will too. And I think that, I think the franchise is in good hands. So, yeah. But speaking of franchises, or I guess I should say auteurs, because it seems like Dan Thrachenberg is sort of becoming an auteur. Zach and I are kicking off our newest auteur de force on the Patreon page, and we are starting this month with Bill Lustig. We're going to be starting with Maniac. So swing on over to patreon.com/podcastingafterdark and go check out the auteur de force tier. It's the $5 tier. If you sign up now, you unlock all of the Carpenter factor. You unlock all of the Coscarelli factor. So you're talking about almost 3 years worth of content, because we record it every month. And then you'll, you know, start in with the Lustig Factor. So right now it's a great time to sort of jump on. And unlike our regular show, unlike our regular reviews on the Auteur de Force tier, we don't necessarily break down the movie, but we go through an auteur's filmography movie by movie. And we kind of discuss and look at each film as how they are a part of the whole, of the auteur's whole filmography. So we look at it from that perspective. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Zach and I have a blast doing it. And I hope you guys all enjoy it. And I hope you enjoyed this micro mini review of Predator, Killer of Killers. And as always, we'll catch you on the dark side.
Be sure to subscribe to Podcasting After Dark and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Support Podcasting After Dark on Patreon. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Podcasting After Dark. And visit us next time for another installment of Podcasting After Dark with Corey Stevenson and Zach Schaefer.